Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. A woman came to our great teacher and asked him, "Teacher, how do I know which religion is the right one?" The teacher replied with a story of a great and wise king who had three sons. The king had a precious gift, a magic ring, that gave him great compassion, generosity, and a spirit of kindness. As the king was dying, each of his sons went to him and asked their father for the ring at the time of his death. And he promised to each of the sons that he would give them the ring. Now, how could he possibly do that for all three sons? Well, here's what he did. Before the king died, he called in the finest jewelry maker of the land and asked him to make two identical copies of the ring. And after his death, each of his sons was then presented with a ring. Well, it wasn't long before each of the sons figured out that the brothers also had a ring, and therefore two of them had to have fakes. Only one of them could have the genuine ring. And so they went before a judge and asked the judge to help them determine which was the authentic ring. Then they could determine who the proper heir was. The judge, however, could not distinguish among the three rings. And so he said, "We shall watch and see which son behaves the most gracious, the most generous, and in the most kind manner. Then we will know which possesses the original ring." And from that day on, each son lived as if he was the one with the magic ring. And no one could tell them apart, which of them was the most gracious, the most generous, or the most kind. Then the teacher, having told this story to the woman, said, "If you wish to know which religion is true, watch and see which reveals God's love to the world." The word for today is love. There is a line from the musical Les Mis that goes something like this: "To love another person is to see the face of God." Consider this letter. "Dear Ann Landers, I'm a 46-year-old woman, divorced with three grown children. After several months of chemotherapy following a mastectomy for breast cancer, I was starting to put my life back together when my doctor called with the test results and said they have found more cancer. I was devastated. My relatives had not been very supportive. I was the first person in my family to have cancer, and they didn't know how to behave towards me. They tried to be kind, I suppose, but I had the feeling that they were afraid it might be contagious. They called on the phone to see how I was, but they kept their distance. It really hurt. Last Saturday, I headed to the laundromat. You see the same people there almost every week. You exchange greetings with them and you make small talk. So when I pulled into the parking lot, determined not to look depressed, despite that, my spirits were very low. While taking my laundry out of the car, I looked up and saw a man, one of the regulars, leaving with his bundle of laundry. He smiled and said, "Good morning, how are you today?" Suddenly, I lost control of myself, and I blurted out, "This is the worst day of my life. I have more cancer." And then I began to cry. The man came up and put his arms around me and just let me sob. Then he said, "I understand. My wife has been through it too." After a few minutes, I felt better. I stammered out my thank you, and I proceeded on into the laundromat with my laundry. About 15 minutes later, here he came back with his wife. And without saying a word, she walked up and she hugged me. Then she said, "I've been there too. Feel free to talk to me anytime. I know what you're going through." And the woman wrote, "I can't tell you how much that meant to me. Here was a total stranger taking her time to give me emotional support and courage to face the future at a time when I was ready to give up. Oh, I hope God gives me a chance someday to do that for someone else. Meanwhile, Anne, please let your readers know that even though there are a lot of hard-hearted people in the world, there are some incredibly generous and loving ones too." The word today is love. Writer Kenneth Boa put it like this. The Bible is all about relationships. The greatest theologians of the church history have agreed on this. Obviously, the first example would be Jesus. When he was asked to sum up the God-centered life, he said that it was quite simple. Love God, love others. Later, Augustine, in the 4th century, the great theologian of the early church, observed that everything written in Scripture is meant to teach us how to love either God or our neighbor. More than 1,000 years later, a converted Augustinian monk named Martin Luther echoed this same thought when he declared that the entire Christian life consists of relating to people around us, particularly by serving our neighbor. As Michael Whitmer says, the one truth that everyone seems to agree on, from Jesus and on to Augustine and the Reformers, is that it's virtually impossible to please God without loving our neighbors. The word is love. I know it, you know it, and we can truly only follow Jesus when we learn to love. Someone spotted a church sign. It said, when God measures a person, he puts a tape measure around their heart. And it's true. I read of a psychologist in Atlanta who said there's two kinds of people. The unhealthy ones go through life crying, please love me, please love me. The other group consists of people healthy enough to give love, not just receive it. The psychologist said that's the best cure for those who cry, please love me, please love me. And that is to help them attain a place of wholeness where they can give help and love to others. In giving love to others, they will automatically fill their own deep needs for attention and love. No person can be said to be a whole person who's not able to love as well as be loved. The word is love. When the Bible seeks to sum up God's character, it simply says, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Love is our primary responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. Now, whom are we to love? We begin, of course, with those closest to us, those for whom we are responsible. But love, if it is Christ-like love, does not stop at home. It's somewhat easy to love the people at home, but how do we love the server in a restaurant or the clerk in a convenience store? How about the person talking on the cell phone who cuts us off on the freeway? How about the homeless person who approaches us for a handout? The test of Christian love is not how you treat the folk at home, although some of us can certainly improve in that area as well. But the test of Christ-like love is this. How do we treat those who seem undeserving of our love? Michael Brennan was a homeless man who spent most of his nights sleeping in a cemetery near Harvard University. Brennan was a drug user since he was 13 years old, and eventually he had become addicted to heroin. After a detoxification program, he went to Boston, determined to carve out a new life for himself. His motto became, don't do drugs and see what happens next. He worked part-time moving furniture, but when he wasn't working, like many homeless persons, he spent time in the Boston Public Library, where it was warm and hospitable. Unlike many of his kind, however, Brennan began to take advantage of the library for more than a place to just hang out and be. Knowing things had become the goal of his life, and knowing that he knows gave him a direction to pursue. Since he was a child, he had wanted to write. It was a passion with him. He found books about freelance journalism. I didn't even know where to start and how to put an address on a cover letter, he said. I had to start with that, so I did. Brennan learned all that he could from how-to books in the library, and then he started to write. One day, when he was in Cambridge wandering around the campus of Harvard, he came across a room full of computers and asked a student if he could use one of them. The young man said, sure, and then went on to lend him some software so he could actually write. It was this act of kindness, this treatment, that gave him some dignity, which Brennan says was crucial to his recovery. Treating him with compassion instead of scorn, he was allowed to use the Harvard computers. His first major article for a local newspaper netted him $1,000, which put a roof over his head. Since that time, he has articles published in Newsweek and other major magazines. He's also published in papers all over the country. He's even written a book. An unknown college student helped change this homeless man's life. Wouldn't you like to make a difference like that in someone's life? The word is love. Christ-like love. Love like that love like the love that Christ sent, that Christ showed when he was sent to die on a cross for folk like you and me. There's only one place I know where that kind of love can be found. It's by opening our hearts to God, whose name and whose nature is love. What are the two greatest commandments? Love God and love your neighbor. Do these two things, and like the scribe in our story this morning, we'll not be far from the kingdom of God. Amen.